just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode. No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. I hope you had a great weekend. I thought the weekend was a bit too short, but we're sharp pushing it. On my way into work today, I was thinking about how the internet has changed so much about how we do so much, and we're not even taking stock of the number of things that it has changed. Like, you think about the number of people who now have video editing skills because of apps like WhatsApp, apps like Reels on Instagram or TikTok, or even YouTube, because so many people are on TikTok now, so many people are on Instagram, obviously, and a lot of these people are creating things with their mobile phones, editing videos with their mobile devices, and it's such an impressive thing. You're not even realizing that, you don't get video editing skills, so... some of these video editing skills are what people who are looking for social media managers are looking for when they're looking to employ social media managers, And these are some gigs that you could get from the comfort of your home thanks to COVID, because everybody's working from home now. So see how much the internet has changed life, changed work, changed skills. And that's just for heavy stuff like editing videos, but all of us are typists now. Do you remember a time when being a typist was this big deal? People had to go to typing school, people had to professional typewriters to get jobs as secretaries. But now everyone's a typist because you're typing on your phone, you're typing on the internet. The computers made us change, having to learn to type. Now some people are faster typers than others, and that's what sets them apart from other people. But everybody now has that big basic skill of typing, and most people now have the basic skill of video editing. It's brilliant. The reason I'm telling you this is that you should take stock of some of these things. Some of these things are skills that you can add to your CV, and you can channel towards maybe improving, maybe adding a few additional skills, and it prepares you to be a social media manager, a video editor, things like that. Anyways, I just had stream of consciousness and I wanted to share that with you. By the way, let me also share with you the jacket I'm wearing today. If you get on our live stream, you see my jacket. Our live stream is Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. One of our listeners gave this to me. Her name is Oluchi. She's a fan. And she made this for me and sent it to my office. And I'm so grateful to her. And I wanted to launch it today on the very first day of the round of 16 of I Beg to Differ. So thank you, Oluchi, for my jacket. I love it. It's so gorgeous and it fits so well. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Okay, first hard fact of the day. Headline inflation. It went up from 18.6% in June to 19.64% in July. That's according to the Nigerian Bureau of Statistics. Throughout the show, talk to me about how the rising inflation is affecting you, affecting your household, affecting your business, affecting your paycheck. It's affecting mine. And also affecting your plans for the future. Because if you want to jackpot, you want to leave the country, inflation means that proof of funds, you don't slash, they go. You know what is not slashing? The number of people who listen to this show. 1 million Lagosians. Thank you for tuning in. I've got a great show for you today. We'll start with the big weekend. So much happened over the weekend. Let's hope we can cover all of them. Let's talk about the Lagos State Government scrapping task force and putting body cams on some LASMA officers. Then let's talk about how Garba Shehu described negotiations with the Abuja-Kaduna railway attackers. And then let's talk about a police officer getting fired for assaulting a citizen. And then let's talk about TUC criticizing the federal government over ASUU. At 4 o'clock, the I Beg to Differ debate tournament round of 16 begins. We have two matches: Fabian Chibundu versus Israel Godslight Adeola, and Praise Onuchi versus Temitope Johnson. They'll be joining us from 4 o'clock. On the Big Heart Fact, let's talk about the civil servant who became a whistleblower and is being punished for it. We're going to be talking to Peter. Peter will be joining us via Zoom at 5 o'clock. Don't miss that interview. He himself, who is being punished for whistleblowing in the Ministry of Works, will be talking to us on the show about what exactly is happening and what he hopes to do with his current situation. As usual, we'll have news updates at the top of every hour. And then the newsroom will bring you the news room after the news at 6 o'clock. But let's get started with today's big weekend. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. These are your hard facts. The big weekend. How should Lagos State government enforce traffic rules? Did the federal government botch negotiations with the railway kidnappers? How can citizens be protected when asserting their rights with the police? And should government scrap fuel subsidy and fund its agreement with ASUU instead? It was a big weekend, Lagos. Let's talk. On Friday, Lagos State government disbanded the Ministry of Transportation's task force. I'm sure you're following that story. And Shola Giwa, the governor's essay on transportation, says that the government took the decision after reviewing how the task force works. From what we're gathering, there were two major issues. First, lots of complaints from the public. Lots of you accused the task force of harassment, extortion, false arrests, and so much more. The second issue is overlap. You have at least two other agencies doing the same thing as the task force. You have LASMA, you have VIO, who are federal, and if you count the police, there are three other agencies. So there's a question of whether the task force is relevant or redundant. Now, I don't think a lot of people saw this decision coming. For the last few weeks, task force has been front and center in enforcing the Okada ban, for instance. Just last week, they announced that they'd impounded 322 bikes in 1 week. Like, they've been the stars of this Okada ban, you know? But maybe they knew that the ban was being discussed, so they've been trying to show working with the Okada situation. And speaking of Okadas, did you hear my interview with Leon on Friday? Leon Lidigu on the Big Three Global last Friday. He's a Kenyan journalist with their Daily Nation newspaper. That's the biggest newspaper in Kenya. And we were talking about the elections in Kenya. We talked about how one of the front runners has campaigned on welfare for commercial bike riders, for Okada people, you know. They call their own Boda Boda. Let me play a bit of that interview for you so you can hear what he had to say. It does sound to me like young people are deciding this in Kenya. Young people are determining who's winning.
Yes. And it's because there's been this conversation that whenever Raila gets to government, the other time when he was with Kibaki, as the prime minister,
right,
most of the appointments that come from his side are usually of older people,
right,
you know, seasoned politicians. So young people at times feel left out.
Right.
But what the deputy president must do, if you see the way he's been dressing, he gave himself a youthful look, he would do the dances, attend gigs, and all those conversations with young people, and made those conversations about young people. And then there's also this young rural folk who are border riders. I think in the motorcyclists.
Oh,
you know?
Okay, Okada riders.
Yeah, I think in Nigeria you call it Okada.
Okada, yes, we do. Yes, Okada.
Yes. These guys, there are many, because many people are jobless. We have even graduates who are doing that sort of business. Yes, and this guy went out to them, you know, that they've been having, and they have a lot of votes. And if you check in Nairobi, the, you know, in fact, the current government had banned them from operating within the central business district.
Okay.
And this guy managed to, you know, to take them in and accommodate, and I think it's just a game of chess.
I know that I veered off, but it's this situation with the task force, et cetera, got me thinking about how we handle social challenges, you know, all over Africa. But anyway, back to the task force. Do you think that the task force are necessary? What I mean is, let's look at them the way we often look at okadas, for example. We talk about their usefulness versus their problems, right? We talk about whether they are indispensable, whether there's a way to neutralize their problems without banning them, right? So I want us to do the same for task force, you know. This ban, has it created a gap in traffic enforcement? Or do you think the other agencies we have, remember I mentioned VIO, I mentioned LASMA, if you add police, we've got three. Do you think that these other agencies can handle the roads without the task force? If there is a gap, if you say that, oh, banning them, shutting them down has created a gap, could there have been a way for the government to reform the task force or change the way that the task force works without banning them? Or was the task force a bad idea to begin with? In his interview a week ago, Governor Sanwo-Olu talked about relying more on technology for traffic management and enforcement. And we seem to be seeing the start of that. This weekend, Shola Giwa was at LASMA headquarters to give them more body cams for their road officers. The goal is that eventually every LASMA officer on the road will have a body cam. These body cams are said to have 12 hours of battery life, meaning that they can last the whole shift without needing to be recharged. But of course, there are so many questions, right? So first of all, only a minority of officers have the body cams for now. So the question is, how long before the state gives LASMA enough body cams for all their officers? Then there's the question of enforcement. How will LASMA or the state government make sure that officers don't switch off their body cams like we've seen happening in other parts of the world? Will there be an audit system in place to check their feeds randomly? What if a LASMA officer stops you and you notice that you don't have a body, you notice that that officer doesn't have a body cam? What are you supposed to do? In our next story, I want to tell you about a police officer who beat somebody up for pointing out that they were violating police procedure. Will you be able to ask a LASMA officer, for instance, where's your body cam, without getting into trouble? Then there's the issue of utility. The body cam is meant to be used to judge the truth in a he said, she said situation between LASMA and a road user. So what's the protocol for demanding the footage? You and I, as regular motorists, are we going to be able to call for the footage in court, for example? What do you think about this disbandment of the Ministry of Transportation's task force? 0700-993-993-993. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Do you think that this is a first step towards removing the human element, you know, the corrupt, inefficient human element from traffic enforcement? What do you think about body cams for LASMA officers? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Hello, Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What do you think about the disbandment of task force?
Well, I'm a boat driver.
Okay.
You understand? My name is Emmanuel.
Okay.
And I am very happy.
Okay.
You understand? I'm more than happy.
Okay.
You understand, for this, because these guys, they behave as if they don't have heart, as if they are not human beings. You understand? Again, you know, Lagos State is on alert of this insecurity that is happening. You understand? And at the end of the day, instead of you to like channel all your energy on who comes in, who goes out, what they bring in, what they take out, you will just like pick almost all the security agencies, all the police officers, and put them on BRC lane to be guiding the BRC. Why some people will be in traffic, they will be harassed, they will be extorted, they will be robbed. I'm very happy. I'm more than happy.
All right, Emmanuel, thank you for calling. Christopher Inikoyi is on the line. Hi, Christopher.
Yeah, President Sandra, good afternoon, ma'am.
Do you think that task force was necessary?
Oh, my God. I'm so happy, Sandra, President Sandra. You know, last year, June 12, around 7 a.m., they disguise a lot. So we go in Korope, you know that small mini bus. This one that took my car, they're in a Toyota Camry, five of them. Somewhere along that Oshodi, Papa Express Road. My car, there's a noise coming up from my front tire. I parked to check what is happening. This car just double-crossed me. They come down, they spent to enter my stereo. Want to drive away with my car, I quickly enter the back seat, another two. They say they are from task force, from governor's office. I say, what have I done now? I'm just checking what happened to my car. The one in front says, oh, you are arguing with inspector. Shut up. We are taking you to the governor's office at Alausa. They turn from Tele, head towards Oshodi, Bagada. Started searching my, you know, the safety compartment. I said, what are you looking for? If you need the particulars, ask me. I'll give it to you. This is robbery. He said, shut up. You are arguing with police. They opened my hand dress. You know, there's a compartment there. 70,000 naira, President Sandra. The guy took it. The sergeant, he gave part of it to the inspector who is driving. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your pocket. They turned me back, heading towards Bagada. Somewhere along there, they parked. Yeah, carry your car, go, carry your car. But the thing that I don't take the license number of that car. And since then, I've been looking out for that Camry. I never see it along that road anymore. So it's good. Last man can do the job. This task force, a corrupt driver along the airport road, committed suicide. Because of this tax force, the guy poor fell on himself, born himself. They took his marwa. He said it's a loan, higher purchase or something. People thought the man was joking. A friend of mine, mobile police, said, look, Chris, I will never do tax force job. They take a lot of risk, and he will not.
All right, Chris, thank you very much for calling. I'm trying to keep the call short so that we can talk to as many people as possible. What do you think about the disbandment of the Ministry of Transportation's task force? Do you think that they were necessary? Do you think that now that they are off the roads, that there's a gap now that they were filling, but now they're not going to be filling that gap anymore? What do you think about LASMA being provided with body cams for some of them at least? 99.3. Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. What's your Oman. Name? Your name is Oman?
Hello?
Can you hear me, sir? What's your name?
Okay. My name is Gibram.
Thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name, sir?
Good afternoon, sir. My name is Larabi.
Welcome.
Yes.
What do you think about this disbandment of task force?
I think this is a very good, welcome development.
Okay.
Yes, because you see, Sandra, you journalists, now, I don't know why, you are not carrying out some investigative journalism to expose these people even before this government take the decision. None of you have ever been in that their Oshodi headquarters, but I was like two times went there to bear some things. If you are talking of corruption, when you enter that place, you come to the last place on earth where corruption is taking place. But the so-called mobile judges they are using sometimes to sentence people, they are all collide, you know, to just make money out of people. If an average, ordinary task force member, I can tell you, if you know what he gets in his bank account, what his lifestyle, you know that these people are just almost the most corrupt people.
All right, thanks for calling. Sharon is in Lekki. Hi, Sharon. Hello, Sharon. Sharon, are you there?
Jenny, how are you?
Hi, how
I'm
are
here.
You?
Yes, can you hear me?
Now I can, yes. Welcome. Go ahead. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, Sandra. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
I can, but it looks like your network is bad.
Oh, okay, let's see. As for the task force, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So, I'm so happy they are removing them. Okay. I had a very horrible experience with them once.
Okay.
So, I was going to the airport. I was going to drop my husband at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And the man is asthmatic. And then, you know, you said he was feeling, he was breathless. Of course, naturally, I'm going to just stop to see. Well, coincidentally, I'm a doctor as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to stop to be sure he's okay.
Okay.
So I literally just parked to be sure he's okay because it was breathing really fast. And everything.
Okay.
Like, while you can, the tax officer could literally see me trying to, you know, sort him out, like, medically or something, trying to get the inhaler or something, you know.
Stuff like that, yeah.
And they came and clamped down the vehicle.
Ooh.
I'm like, what you guys, man? Somebody's even sick. I'm trying to figure out if we should still go to the airport, if we should turn back and go to the hospital, if, you know. And I showed him my ID card. I said, look, I'm a doctor. I'm trying to help this man. He's my husband. It was horrible. It was really horrible. People had to gather and come and beg because people could see that we stopped because he wasn't feeling well and everything. They are horrible. And I'm happy they're taking them out.
Right.
And as for the body cam that they are doing, it's a good initiative. But I also think that motorists should also get their own, the car cams or something
okay.
for their cars as well so that there's a... You know, these days, when you have video editing and everything, you don't know what can happen. I don't trust last man, I'm sorry. But everybody should have their own evidence so that, you know, we bring it forth.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. I've got a message here that says, the banning of task force is long overdue. They sometimes confuse people to enter their traps in order to extort them. If you just tuned in, hello to you. We've just talked about the first story that broke over the weekend. Every Monday from 3 p.m., we'll bring you all the stories, the big stories that broke over the weekend that you couldn't get a chance to talk about on Hard Facts, because Fridays we take a break from Nigerian stories. So Mondays at 3, we bring you those stories and we give you a chance to share your thoughts. Let's take a break now. We'll be back and then we'll talk about Garbage.
Gather around, kids. You can't miss this news. The best of Nickelodeon is coming to you on Wazovia Max TV. Yes.
The debaters are ready.
The panel of judges are ready.
The judges have decided. The prize money is ready.
1 million naira. There's only one question left, Lagos. Are you, the audience, ready? It's the August edition of the I Beg to Differ debate tournament.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator. Join me from August 8th as the best student debaters go head-to-head. Weekdays at 4 on 99.3 Nigeria Info FM. This tournament is supported by Webster University, RLG Communications, obiwizi.com, Booker Hot, and Storm Body Spray.
Silly. Garba Shehu made the news this weekend. He's the president's media aide. He spoke to BBC Hausa about the Abuja Kaduna Railway kidnapping, and he revealed some of the steps that government has been taking to free the hostages. Now, he claims that the kidnappers made demands. Government met the demands, but the kidnappers broke their word and didn't release all the hostages. Here's how the cable translated Shehu's words to BBC Hausa. Quote, whoever says the government isn't doing anything or isn't making any effort to rescue them perhaps doesn't know the effort the government is putting in order to rescue the abductees. Don't forget that right from the start of it, the leader of the terrorists demanded that his pregnant wife should be released from captivity. The federal government took the woman to the hospital where she gave birth to twins. And after she gave birth, he was shown that both his wife and children were in a good health condition. And then they were handed over to his parents. After handing them over, they came up with a different issue, that there are about 6 or 7 of their children in Yola, Adamawa, who the government sent a plane to pick up. We expected that if we gave them the children, they would release all the victims in their custody. Then they demanded money. So people should not say that the government is doing nothing. End quote. Just to be clear, Garba Shehu is saying that the federal government is negotiating with the terrorists. So that's first of all. Second of all, he's saying that the government met their first demand without the terrorists freeing the hostages. And then there was a second demand to free more of their family members, and the government met it again, and yet again, the terrorists did not have a system in place to make sure that the hostages were freed before or during the handover. And now the terrorists are demanding money. I should remind you that the National Assembly passed a law banning citizens from paying ransom. So it's going to be interesting to see if the government pays a ransom. Here's an interesting thing about this story. It's coming from the presidency, from the president's media aide. But imagine if a radio station or a TV news channel had broken this story. I really wonder whether the regulations or the regulators really would have accused that station of trying to demoralize the country or to glorify the terrorists. But this is information that the public needs to know. So I'm glad that Garba Shehu told us. Meanwhile, the Arewa Youth Forum says that President Buhari should sack his national security advisor, Babagana Monguno. They say that they will protest at Aso Rock on Wednesday if Monguno still has a job. I'm raising that because presumably the NSA is a central person when decisions like this negotiation thing happens. But that's what's happening with that situation. I want to know what you think about the order of, or the order of events in Garba Shehu's narrative. Do you think it portrays a negotiation that is being properly handled? Do you think so? Should the government have released the second batch of family members to the terrorists if the first handover did not yield the right results? Should there have been a mechanism in place for a simultaneous swap, you know, rather than a turn-by-turn swap, which leaves for double-crossing? Maybe I watch too much TV. I watch too much FBI shows. I don't know. But you tell me, Lagos, 0700-993-993-993. And yes, you can still talk to me about the task force here in Lagos that has now been disbanded. What do you think about that? Do you think it's a good thing? 0700-993-993-993. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am. What's your name?
Madam Gloria on the line. It's been a while.
Welcome, Madam Gloria.
Well, you see, it's so funny. Garba Shehu telling us this. Who are they deceiving? You negotiated with the terrorists? They give you their conditions? What condition did you give the terrorists also? I think they must have told the terrorists to release those captors.
Yes.
So, when you now brought this woman to, okay, you took the woman to the hospital, she's mm-hmm. delivered,
mm-hmm.
you would have told the terrorists, let them bring these people.
Mm.
You swap. You release the wife and the children, they release these people.
Mm.
You just took the woman to her parents, to the terrorist parents.
Yes.
Now, the children, helicopter to go and carry them and drop for the terrorists.
Hmm.
What kind of government is this? They are using us to make yeye abi. In fact, Sandra,
Ma.
Nigerian government, we are not serious. They are not serious at all.
Madam Gloria, thank you very much for calling. Everybody gets 1 minute. Remember, 99.3. Hello. Sorry about that. Give us a call back if you can. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Hello, Sandra.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
Afternoon. My name is Francis. Thank you for me.
You've got 1 minute.
Okay. The word may have nothing to say. If you look at the way that those people, especially those people in this government that are afraid, if you can, I don't want to use any word that is not, just look it and just by yourself. Look it. You can tell me that if it is a baby, the baby can maybe do that type of thing. That you know that those people that even for inside, you know that those people are not even, they cannot be safe at any time. But you as the whole government, you have both by the stand, you disappear, you do the negotiation, and you do everything, you set your own food like that. The first time, the second time, and you now come back now, they're telling us that the terrorists, the negotiation was the terrorism, there was no before. How can I be faithful? Are there ever faithful at any time?
Thank you very much for calling. Bright says, Sandra, I think this government isn't negotiating right. How can they now be asking, how can these terrorists be making such demands and we don't have a proper policy to swap in place? Musa Lukman says, he's talking about a story that we've not got into yet. Let's take a look at these messages here on WhatsApp. Ajayi Olabode says, there's no Lagosian who has suffered at the hands of these lawless law enforcers who will not hail the disbandment. It is long overdue. A friend of mine who dropped me off at Antony was arrested and taken to Oshodi. He parted with 14.5. I parted with 14.5 of my hard-earned money in these lean Buhari times. It's common knowledge among last-time officers that those who cannot build a house within 6 months can never amount to anything in life because of the proceeds of illegal arrests. The body cam is a welcome development, but my gut feeling tells me that they will look for a way to circumvent the process unless the government does something to checkmate them. Meanwhile, I will also get a camera for my car. Sandra, please, I need some explanation on the these names that Nigeria Info. What are you talking about? We've got Jack who says, on this Garba Shehu hostage negotiation story, I wonder what. Okay. He has a message that says, I'm speechless at the words used by many callers in qualifying the task force. Heartless, horrible. The Lagos State government needs to employ well-groomed and enlightened individuals into the task force. The government should understand that these task force officials are like their customer care unit and their point of contact and the face of the overall government, executive, judiciary, and legislature. You didn't leave your name, but thank you very much for your message. Let me take two calls and then tell you about a policeman who has been dismissed for illegally searching a citizen's phone and assaulting them. Two calls, 1 minute each. Let's go. Hello. Thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name, sir? Hello. All right. Doesn't look like you're there. 99.3. Hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name, sir?
This is Deji calling.
All right, welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, please, can I talk about the task force?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Yeah. Please, these people, they are just making money for themselves. Okay. Which means that I'm a downfall driver. Yeah, I drove downfall. This, there are some buses that we pay 30,000 for task force. Some pay 40,000. If you look at back of the downfall, you see some names like fire, enough fire. Like Sanjo, Omo Oga, like they have many names that we normally pay for every month like that. Because if you don't see that sticker on the back of your glass, we arrest you. We are good at the chance careful. Some are collecting the 3,000. They have so many names, like one festival. Like even when you are see the back of downfall, you see there's one Cisco. You see at the back of the downfall. That's what we normally pay every month for this task force. That's every month. That's what we pay. 40, 50,000. But because you don't pay that money. If they are asking 2,000 or 3,000 in a week, you pay more than that.
So you just pay them up front so that they don't arrest you?
Ma?
So you pay them up front so they don't arrest you?
Yes.
Oh,
ma. So that they won't arrest us.
Oh, ma.
Pay them.
Oh, ma.
If you are going out, just taking back of all this happened, you see, like first in 2002, they give us some.
They give you sticker, like sign of the cross.
Yes,
this one don't pay, leave them.
Yes. If they see that sticker, they know they block us. They know they do anything to us.
Interesting.
But if you don't see that sticker, they will. And even in a week, if a block like 3 times, you pay times 5 of that money or times 6 of that money.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling, sir. Dan Baba is our last call. Hi, Dan Baba.
Yeah, good afternoon, Madam Sanja.
Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you. I want to talk about the last man and the tax force.
Yes, please.
My brother, he took my car to a vulcanizer at Sura last week, Friday or Thursday.
Okay.
He paid 35,000 naira just to pump his tire.
Okay.
From there. That is my car.
Okay.
And we asked why. They say one of their guys, every Friday, come out to make club money. So when he come out, any car that you see on the road will pick the car. You see, this band, I'm not celebrating it, and I will tell you the reason.
Okay.
Lagosian and Nigerian think will forget easily. When it comes to election period, don't forget that Lagos State government always banned these people. Car, you, last man, tax force. go and check your record. That is what they do every election time. After election, these people come. I don't have an issue with government trying to enforce the law. But let it be done in a proper way. In a situation whereby tax laws behave like hoodlums. In a situation where last man is the police, the prosecutor, the judge, and everything, you don't have a seat. They go to Alausa and all these places. Ask yourself how these people operate. Are they there to enforce the law, or they are there to generate money for the government and themselves? By the way, the problem comes.
All right.
These people, you see, some of them do contribution 3 times a week. How do they get this money?
Thank you very much for calling, Dambaba. All right, Lagos, the police force has dismissed an officer for illegally searching a citizen's phone and assaulting them. The officer is Corporal Ope Okoyemi Kadiri. He was working at the Dolphin Division HQ here in Lagos, and he was caught on video searching somebody's phone after stopping that person here in Lagos. I'm going to show you that video on our live stream. Our live stream is Nigeria Info 99.3. But if you cannot watch our live stream, well, here is the audio of that video.
So as we were going for a job, and this policeman stopped me, collected my phone and was searching. Whereby Inspector General of Police have said it on Twitter. Why
will you break it?
Why will you break it? What did I do to you? Inspector General of Police have said you should not search our phones. Why are you searching my phone? Why are you searching my phone? The Inspector General of Police have said they should not search phones. Why are you searching my phone?
And the victim in that video was right. Remember that the IG directed officers to stop searching people's phones randomly. It's against the law. The police need a warrant to search your phone, or they need to have caught you committing a crime. Anyway, the owner of the phone, like you heard, tried to explain all of this, but the officer was beating him. You could hear the sound in that audio that I played for you. And now he has lost his job in the Nigeria Police Force. Recently, the police command has been making it a point to show Nigerians that it is holding its officers accountable. The NSAS protests really put police brutality and police impunity on the front burner. So now the police is admitting more and more that it does have a problem, but it's trying to solve that problem. And I want to know if you think the police is doing enough. But also, let's talk about how difficult it is to hold police officers accountable. The victim in this story was telling the policeman that you don't have the right to search people's phones. Predictably, the officer responded with violence. It reminded me of that time that police told us that if an officer tries to search our phones or extort us, we should try and codedly video them and get their ID numbers. It means, say, you get why they tell us to do it codedly. They know, say, corrupt officers go beat you. They go use violence. So is there a better way to hold police accountable? What do you think citizens should demand from the police command to make it easier to monitor and deter the bad eggs? But more importantly, what do you think of the police officer getting dismissed for illegally searching a phone after a traffic stop and beating up the owner? 01465-7190, 0700-993-993-993. We've talked about a police officer getting fired for assaulting a citizen. We've talked about Garba Shehu describing negotiations with Abuja Kaduna Railway attackers. And we've talked about the Lagos State Government scrapping the task force, putting body cams on some LASMA officers. You can talk about any of these stories or about all of these stories. You just have 1 minute. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
My name is Benson.
Benson, you're calling our number for women.
Say that again.
You're calling our line for women. Give us a call on the other number. The other number is 0700-993-993-993. 01465-7190 is our number for women. 0700-993-993-993 is our number for men. 99.3, hello? 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 Is anyone there? All right. 99.3, hello? Sorry about that. Give us a call back if you can. Good afternoon. Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Okay, I don't know what's happening with the phone lines. 99.3.
Hello, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
Yeah, it's Blarabi that I call back.
It's who?
Blarabi.
Okay, welcome.
Yeah, I think this is another kudos to our new idea and the policy of police now.
Okay.
Try to punish all the bad things among them.
Okay.
Sandra, there is a time last 2 weeks at around one particular club in Meyaki at Okoba, New Okoba area of Ojokoro local government.
Mm-hmm.
So I've witnessed four policemen, and these policemen, they are popular safe. People know that they can identify their name because they are used to wear mufti to carry out those operations.
Okay.
If you see how they are, you know, harassing people, you know, collecting money from their hand, they used to make a gang up in the night, just wherever, anywhere they see guys working, they'll stop them. They start their phone. And sometimes they can even take them to ATM. I can tell you that one. To withdraw money and bribe them so that they will allow them.
You're saying that they stay where? Where do they stay?
Around that Okoba Meyaki axis.
Okoba Miyake axis, and they wear mufti and do this.
The mufti they used to wear.
Okay.
Mufti.
All right. Thank you for sharing that information with the public.
Money from people.
Okay. So, thanks for sharing that information with the public. Remember, everybody gets 1 minute. Joy is here. Hi, Joy.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
You see this police matter. Whenever I see them on the road, there is one hunger that I have for them.
Okay.
The reason why, when I used to go to market by myself to carry goods with truck, we always fight on the road. They don't even know their job at all. It's all about money. I don't know why. All these guys, they used to send them outside the country. Is it they would just waste our money and come back? They don't know how to apply those things. It's not good at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy, for calling. Well, the algas are not on the roads. It's the ones that are not getting sent abroad that are on the road. But of course, it does raise the question of, okay, well, what kind of training are they getting? You know, because you send someone abroad to get training, they come back, they're supposed to retrain the people who are under them. Are they doing that? We've got Dan from Lagos on WhatsApp who says, Sandra, Garba Shehu should stop deceiving us. Okay, I can't read the rest of that comment. Here's a message. Sandra, Garba Shehu's response was quite embarrassing. I just got this on Twitter. Okay, I don't know if that's true. He's claiming that there's some update about the Abuja Kaduna, what's the word I'm looking for now? Abuja Kaduna real situation. Ginka, can you go to the newsroom and find out if they have any updates about the victims, the kidnapped victims of Abuja Kaduna real? Fly to the newsroom and fly back into the studio. Thank you very much. We've got messages here. Biodun says, Sandra, no movement of females and businesses paralyzed because of Oro Festival. We need a change. If the monthly environmental sanitation could be stopped after a court judgment. We're not talking about Oro Festival, though, but thank you for bringing that up. Here is a message that says, you will hardly see LASMA officials doing their primary work of traffic management. They are out there to extort motorists. Well, some of them are getting body cams now, so maybe that will help. Here's a message that says, it's unfortunate that we have people in government who do not know what it takes to lead us. Of course, they're supposed to swap simultaneously. It's a shame that this is coming from the spokesperson of the government. Here's a message that says, banning of task force is a scam. Government will still revert the decision after the election. Peter Yorinde says, Garba Shehu's statement, just like every other statement said by government officials, are proof of the value of their solutions. Very basic and super floss. They make solutions look like brain surgery. Glad to see an end to one of the so-called traffic regulators who do the same things over and over again without modernization. Here is Omar from Ikorodu who says, I had a man vomiting in my car, looking like he was going to pass out. I rushed water and people around to help pour water on him. Task force came there, arrested me with everyone begging them. They still drove the car to Agri Ikorodu and I paid 35,000. So it's good that they've been stopped and last man should be monitored with the body cam if they don't sabotage it. All right. Here's a message from Michael, who is in Boston in America, who says, I think disbanding task force in Lagos is good, but my problem is Lagos will bring them back after the elections. They did that in 2015 by taking LASMA out of the roads, and after winning elections, they brought them back again. Banning them is just a way of deceiving Lagosians. Benga in Ilukbeju says, quick points. On the task force, it's a welcome development, long overdue. Traffic from K2 extends up to Ojota and beyond, yet there's a police division with task force right at the bus stop. On body cams, have you not seen touts working for LASMA? How many rules have LASMA officials flaunted without punishment? On Garba Shehu, no serious government negotiates with bandits. This is the same government that banned paying a ransom. A pity. Like Abacha was allegedly quoted, if any insurgency lasts more than 24 hours, the government has a hand in it. Abacha's family has come out to say that Abacha didn't say that thing. 99.3. Hello. Hello.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
I'm Joseph from Ibeji.
Welcome, Joseph.
Yeah, I want to talk about the government negotiating with terrorists.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
First, doesn't the government understand that these people are terrorists? They are criminals. And didn't they know that the non-compliance of the bandits to the government demand was a possibility? And if they knew, I don't know why they didn't put mechanisms in place to ensure a simultaneous swap or even make them to bring their own side first. Maybe you can scam them. Hello?
Okay.
Yeah, and lastly, Sandra, they sent helicopters to the camp of the terrorists, right?
Yes.
It means that they are aware of the location of the terrorists.
Yes.
And if they are aware, then why can't they get rid of them?
Because the terrorists have hostages, you know, and you don't want to hurt civilians. Because remember, when one of the heads of the bandits got killed last week, remember there was also like a victory there for the Nigerian Air Force. They got intel that where the terrorists were at that time was far away from where civilians or hostages were, and that's why they were able to open fire and allegedly kill a lot of the terrorists, including a really notorious leader called Shanono. Of course, we're just hearing his name for the first time. It's interesting that Nigerian government doesn't tell us the names of these people, you know. So you think about an Al-Wahiri, for instance, who got killed in America, and it meant so much to the world when the world heard that he'd been killed, because the world knew his name, had known his name for years, and so his death meant something. But if we don't even know the names of these terrorists or what they look like, when you hear that, oh, a notorious terrorist has been killed, and then you hear their name and it's not a name that has been in the news or in the consciousness of the citizens for a while, citizens are not invested in the story. Government needs to change the way it does comms. We're too stuck in the way things were done during the military. We don't understand that we have been a democratic society for at least 20 years now. You know, that has to mean something. We have to let go of our past trauma. Let it go. Shed it. Break up with it. Okay. We'll take a break so that we can have our students come into the studio. I love this next segment of Hard Facts. It's a debate tournament for the smartest students in Lagos, and they'll be debating to win 1 million naira by September 1st. That's the day of the finale. I've got four students. They'll be debating, you know, right here from 4 to 5. You don't want to miss it. Go and tell someone to tell someone to tell someone else. The best thing on radio is happening in a few minutes. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.